Hello, everybody. Come on in here and sit down now. It's Wednesday, and you do have your study notes, right, that you've been ordering on this. Good. Get your notes out. Now, we're talking about words being spiritual containers. Monday, we read where Jesus said, "My word," John 6:63, "my words are spirit and they are life." Remember what else he said? "The thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Words can be faith-filled words that dominate the laws of sin and death. Fear-filled words. Jesus said, "You'll stand judgment for every idol." The classic amplified, "You'll stand judge for every idle, non-working word," and it's a thing that does not proceed from faith.
Right.
So, idle words. Now,
silly stuff.
Huh?
Just talking silly words.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow if a train don't kill me. Brother Hagin would say, "You say something long enough for it to get down into your spirit or control your life." I said for years, because I was always way overweight, I hate exercise. Well, then the time came, and the Lord really got after me for that, and I needed to get a great exercise room there, and right there in our home. And I saw, when I did it, so made the decision. Praise God. I got in there, had a smile on my face, brother.
Yeah.
And I have an A-frame, and on this end of it here, you pull this down, there's two things like this, and you can pull them down and add weight to it from the bottom. And I caught a hold of that, and I'm smiling. I said, "God, I hate this." It was in me. And I just cried. I said, "No. No, forgive me, Lord God. I love this." I physically felt that spirit leave my body.
That's it.
I physically felt it. I'd said it since I was a boy. But no more.
Yeah.
Never say that.
Right.
So, and I want to, excuse me. Names are so important.
Yes.
That in naming a child, I learned this over the years, to be cautious about what the nickname might be.
Right.
And I'm going to tell this to you. I had already spoken to the class about this earlier. Now, my grandfather, Cherokee Indian, and when he grew up, he was just Chum Owens. That is it. Now, his dad, he named all the girls. But the boys, they just had nicknames, and he was Chum, mm-hmm. Chum Owens. Well, he had to sign up for the draft in World War I. They said, "No, can't have your nickname. What's your name?" He said, "W.E. Owens." "No, not your initial. What's your name?" "William Elmer." He named himself after two men that he highly respected. He named himself. His brother's name was D.R. No, yeah, D.R. D.R. Owens. So they called him Doc. Mm-hmm. He wasn't more doctor.
Right.
He was D.R. Well, now, my mother's family. My mother, Finetta Pearl. Then, Alton Leroy Owens. Then, Floyd Russell Owens. And then, Maxine. She's the youngest. So, Alton Leroy Owens was killed in World War II. But he nicknamed everyone. Now, the youngest, Floyd Russell Owens. They lived out there on the farm. He would not wear anything but blue overalls. Now, I said that properly. In Texas, they're overhauls.
Overhauls, that's right.
He'd wear blue overhauls, not striped ones. You couldn't get, no, blue. So, his older brother called him P.T. Edelman Boy Blue. He was Pete Owens till the day he went home to be with the Lord. Yeah. Everybody called him Pete. And nobody knew what his real name was. He was Uncle Pete to me. Hmm. Now, there was another man right there in that same area, in that farming area where they were raised. And he was tall, you know, real slender kind of a guy, kind of long neck. He called him Turkey Neck Shepherd. So everybody called him Turk Shepherd. Now, even lovely man, even when he went home to be with the Lord, I asked my dad, I said, do you have any idea what Turk Shepherd's real name was? He said, no, I don't have any idea. He was just always Turk Shepherd because my Uncle Bud called him that.
That's something. That is amazing.
And then my mother called Alton Leroy Bud. Is her brother. So he became Bud Owens. I called him Uncle Bud. Mm-hmm. I had Uncle Bud, Uncle Pete, and Aunt Mackie. Names are so important. You need to watch out for the nickname.
Yeah.
Because children can be stuck with it.
If you'll listen to your children when they're really young, don't call them into their calling. Let God do that.
Yeah.
But if you'll listen to them, they'll give you clues to what their calling is.
Yes, they will.
When they start talking about things. I tried to get my daughter, Madison, to play sports. She'd be out there singing and dancing. And the soccer ball would go right past her. Into the goal. Yeah. And I got so frustrated at her one day, and I said, Maddie, you've got to stop singing. And she goes, that's my destiny. That's what I'm called to do. And I went, I repent.
Yeah. Or in other words, Daddy, get out of my way.
No, but it was true. If you listen to them, you'll begin to pick up what God's already placed in them. And then you can begin to talk that and direct that and speak those seeds, speak to that seed of greatness that's already in them.
Now, one thing I never, ever did. Never. I was just not disposed to do this. I never called my dad my old man.
Mm-mm.
Never.
I didn't either.
Never, never, never. I called him my father. When I was young, I called him Daddy. And before I knew you could have what you say, first airplane ride in my life. It was close enough to the end of World War II that they released general aviation. We lived there in Abilene, Texas. And a man by the name of Wooten, the Wooten Hotel, Wooten Furniture Company, had a little Lockheed 12. Mm-hmm. Now, to let you know what that was the airplane that Amelia Earhart flew. Little twin tail on it, two engines. So they said, they called my dad and said, we're going to fly Mr. Wooten's airplane. Would you and your son like to come out and ride? Oh, yeah. So he was flying, put me up in the front seat. And this is the first time I'd ever been in the front seat of an airplane, in the cockpit of an airplane. And he looked at me and he said, don't you touch anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now, the reason I'm telling this, Mark 11, 20. Let's go to Mark 11. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Three times say.
Say, say, say. Believe once. Say, say, say. And we got on the ground, and the door stuck. So I got another 20 minutes sitting up there, and it was hot. I didn't care. That's the first time I'd ever been off the ground. Walking away, saying the word Daddy, brought it all back to my mind. We were walking across the tarmac that right there in Abilene, Texas. And he had me by the hand. And the coming December, I would have been 9 years old. And it was summertime. I stopped and turned around. And I turned around. And I pointed at that airplane. And I said, Daddy, I'm going to do that. He said, what? I said, I'm going to fly airplanes. He said, boy, you can do that. That's the first time I said it.
He put his amen on it.
Yes, he did.
You spoke seed that was already in you.
Yes.
He put his amen on it as your father. And that encouraged you. Instead, don't discourage your children. When they say, like Dr. Avery, I'm going to be a brain surgeon. Oh, nobody in our family has ever been a brain surgeon.
But he is.
You see what I mean? Now, example of this.
And I've been flying for over 60 years.
There you are.
And I finally realized that I was called to fly.
Yes. And that got you in to Oral Roberts.
Yes, it did.
And it got you into where you're at today.
That's right.
As a result.
Yes, sir.
Words, Matthew, and Mark chapter 5. Let's look at this. We started this yesterday, and Jesus is in Capernaum, and Jairus meets him and fell at his feet, besought him, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, she may be healed, and she'll live. Listen to what he's saying. Verse 24, Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. Now, here's where I'm going to start. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus,
she heard something
first.
Yes. Faith came.
And yes. And it's in her. And so that created a thought. And that thought caused this. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, based on what she heard, mm-hmm. for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountains of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body, and that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? That's a great example of words. She set the condition for what was going to happen with her words, based on what she'd heard. So she's operating by something that's been sown in her, and she's saying, like you did at 9 years old with that airplane. What she said contained the miracle, not what she did.
That's right.
Let me say that again. What she said contained the miracle, not what she did. What she said pulled the healing out of him. That's how he felt it. He recognized it. What she said pulled it out. You've probably had that where you've just been preaching along and all of a sudden you're just drawn to a place or to a situation. You don't even know why. You just feel a pull on you, on that anointing. Now, she was afraid after it happened. This is the second or third time in 24 hours that somebody's fallen at Jesus' feet. The guy who they cast the demons out of, Jairus, now her. But her thoughts created her words based on what she heard.
I'm totally convinced, since Jesus preached what we read over there in the fourth chapter of Mark, and you can prove by what Peter preached at Cornelius' house,
right,
that he preached that everywhere that he went.
Yes.
That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to preach the recovery of sight to the blind, to preach deliverance for the captive, to set the captive free in the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yeah.
And then Peter preached that in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts at Cornelius's house, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I am totally convinced that's what she heard.
There's seven people that preach that message.
Yeah.
Stephen will preach that message. Peter will preach that message on more than one occasion, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 10. Saul will preach that message. Priscilla, they'll all preach that message. That's a message they're all teaching because they heard him teach it.
Mm-hmm. In his name.
In his name, and the power of his name in them. They have that same anointing because they're renamed in him. So the thoughts in her created the words.
Now,
yeah.
What was Peter's name?
Cephas.
Simon Bar-Jonah.
Simon Bar-Jonah, right. And he changed his name.
He changed his name.
Simon, son of Jonah.
Yeah. He changed his name.
That's right. He did.
John. The Baptist.
Right.
That wasn't his name.
No, that's what he did. That was his assignment.
That's what he preached.
That's right. Yochanan the Immerser is how you would say it.
Yeah.
For that.
Now you go back and look at his, of course it's recorded. His dad's name is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go back and see what his name is.
Yes. Zacharias.
So, the angel said his name will be John.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was named by the angel. Jesus was named.
That's right. Abraham's name is changed because he's got to get him to start saying.
Yeah. And he entered into a blood covenant.
That's exactly right.
And he changed his name.
Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man sustains him.
Yes.
And this is why you have to speak words, faithful words from your spirit, because they're containers, and because that will sustain you. She had to push through two crowds that day, the physical crowd and all the thoughts in her head.
Oh, yeah. And you think about what had to go on within her by what she heard about Jesus she came to the conclusion that she must forgive all of those physicians.
Right. And quite possibly Jairus, who's standing right there because she'd been put out of the temple. He's a ruler of the temple.
Yeah.
Standing right in front
because
of her.
Because of an issue of blood.
That's exactly right. She can't go in there.
Because of what is written in Leviticus 5, that that she's unclean beyond a normal blood flow.
That's right.
She's unclean. So she had to be isolated.
That's right. That's right. And so she had to overcome all those thoughts. Let me leave you another verse here. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11.
Oh, I love
For
it.
As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but waters the earth, maketh it bring
forth. So shall my word be.
Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper
in the thing whereunto I sent it.
And if you will speak his words in faith, they contain everything that's in that verse right there.
You've heard me tell this before. Gloria and I spent the night with Oral and Evelyn Roberts, excuse me, in their home in Palm Springs. He said, I want you to get up and help me with my partner letter in the morning. Well, it was almost the way you and I are sitting here. He was at his desk and his Bible was here. And he said, what is this? I said, it's the Word of God. He said, what is this? Well, you know, I knew I didn't know.
Yeah.
And he said, letters. And they're just as anointed today as they were the day they were written.
Praise God.
I was sitting there shaking.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And he said, are you willing to commit to write a letter to your partners every 30 days the rest of your life?
My God.
I said, yes, I am. And he said, now you listen to me. You don't write those letters to get your needs met. You write them letters to help them get their needs met. That's your job. Meet the needs of the people. Do you understand me? I said, yes, sir. And I've written one every 30 days since.
Praise God. Praise God.
Boy, he threw that Bible. He just took it like he hit me right in the chest with it. And he hollered, letter. And we are out of time. We'll be back in a few moments.
Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. When God's word is in you, you can't help but have excellent results. Learn how you can produce only good things in your life with the audio teaching, Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results by Kenneth Copeland. He says the way to choose life is by attending to his word and speaking faith-filled words. God's word produces health, prosperity, peace, everything good you could ever need. It pleases him to see you blessed, living in the abundance Jesus paid for. What's in your heart is what you'll see in your life. Learn to guard it with the word of God. When the word is in you, you're able to speak it by faith. Choose to align your mouth with Him and reprogram your heart from death to life. You are a child of God, so learn to do things His way, the blessing way. God's words received into your heart and spoken out your mouth are His creative force in the earth today. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's series entitled Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results. Available on MP3 disc at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, in that scripture, Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, He defeated the devil, He stripped him of his power, and Jesus is now called the first begotten Son. It was God's desire through Jesus' work of redemption that many sons be brought to glory. God wanted His family. Jesus made a way for you and for me to become part of His family. Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ, and now we can stand in the presence of the Most High God without any guilt or shame or condemnation. It all starts with making Jesus the Lord of your life. Pray this with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and do something with it, and I will serve You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, as a born-again child of God, you have legal right to all that Jesus' name provides. You have legal right to the peace, the victory, the healing, the provision, everything. Think about it. The Most High God is your heavenly Father, and Jesus is the King of all kings. Now, we want to help you learn more about your new life in Christ, and we have a free gift for you called the Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria. And there are also brochures to help you get started reading and studying your Bible. Just go to kcm.org to request your free copy of the Salvation Package, and we'll get that sent to you right away.
When you get so excited that you're out of time and don't know it, praise God. It's wonderful, though, is it not? It's been a good time today, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, remember these words. God loves you. We love you, and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you called the Salvation Package. Learn about the new birth and how you can live your new life victoriously in Christ. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk and receive your free package. Keep your heart full of God's Word and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.